And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, I know you're a lawyer. I don't know how well you did in school with mathematics, but some lawyers know how to add. In any case, there's a story, not just a story, I mean, this is a true event. A woman from England who has a following on social media writes to her following that she doesn't understand why anybody thinks that the price of gas is going up. She always puts 20 pounds worth of gas in her car. She's still doing it, and it's never more than 20 pounds. So what are you talking about? Got it?
Yeah. I mean, how do you argue with that?
Well, she's telling the truth.
Yeah. The sad part is when you come to Trump voters, a lot of them think the same way. But I doubt if they're really thinking now because they know what gasoline is costing them.
And they probably don't put in just $20 worth of gas. They probably have to either fill right. up or put in a half a tank or something like that. And this month, what did we start? $3.09 at the beginning of the month? And we're at $3.90 now?
That's if you're lucky. That's $3.90.
Yeah.
I've seen it as high as $3.99 and over $4 if you use credit.
Really?
But it's changing almost by the day.
Yeah, by the part of the time of the day. If you don't fill up in the morning, it's going to cost you more right. money in the afternoon.
Yeah. And it's not just gas; it's diesel fuel, which is well over $5
right.
now.
Right.
And that's that has some secondary effects because the trucks. Are all diesel, and they deliver things like food. So the cost of delivery goes up, and then everything else that they deliver causes costs to rise.
So we have an election coming up.
Yeah.
Trump makes the point that he must win this election or he's dead in the water. And not only dead in the water, he might be impeached. He figures he will be impeached if he loses the election. And his strategy for going into the election seems to be to raise gas prices. Now, I understand he's a genius, and I'm not. But
very stable genius.
A very stable genius, that's right. But you went to school in Pennsylvania, like Trump did. So maybe you're touched with the same educational genius. What kind of a strategy is it when people's uppermost concern is high prices to go in with a campaign that's based on raising prices? I've missed it. I know it's there, but I've missed it.
It's the strategy that you can fool some of the people all of the time. Whether you like it or not, Trump's hold on MAGA continues to be strong. His people continue to be with him. There was one poll I saw, 100% with him. That part is incredible. But the thing is, of course, he's lost other constituencies. He's lost independents, and he's lost Hispanics. We mentioned with gas prices, people traveling by car, but we have people traveling by air who are not only being hit by prices, but being hit by long lines. And the airlines are actually canceling some flights in order to try to save things.
But also the airlines have to raise prices.
Yes, and they're predicting these prices that are you know, are going to go up and not go down anytime soon. Don't forget they have to buy, gasoline futures. And what they're paying now for futures is high. Even if gas prices were to come down today, they're going to be locked into contracts that are higher than anything that's coming down. So we have that.
You haven't explained it. You haven't led me.
Well, there was another lady at a gas station in Pennsylvania, no less, that did explain it.
Oh,
she said that she voted for Trump three times, and now with the price of gas, she realizes that she's an idiot.
Ah, I see. All right, fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah. On the other hand, although he's costing everybody who works for a living money, a lot of money, and more as it goes by, the people who've been convicted of fraud and who can make a sizable contribution to his political action committee not only get pardoned, but as part of the pardon, they don't have to make restitution. So you got one guy who owed people that he stole money from $200 million. Now he doesn't have to pay any of it back. Somebody else, $38 million. Somebody else, Medicaid fraud, $205 million. Somebody else, $60 million. Somebody else, $20 million. Somebody else, bank fraud. None of these people who were sentenced to have restitution, they had to pay it back, no longer have to pay it back because they've been pardoned. And all it cost them was a small fraction of what they stole.
Yeah, I used to say, if you're going to get caught, make sure it pays enough to get caught. If you're going to go to jail for 10 years for stealing $5,000, like in a bank holdup, that's not a very good payout. But if you steal $50 million, and you go away for 10 years, yeah, it's $5 million a year you've worth of it. So these things, but it's also noteworthy that these are all fraud cases.
Yeah, all fraud.
Trump does not believe that fraud is a crime. And that's why he practices it so frequently. We saw what he did with his charity, his charitable trust, right?
Mm-hmm.
That they had to shut it down. He was convicted of fraud, the way he was manipulating the prices of his real estate to avoid taxes. And he's just trying to normalize it. And in fact, he's wound up doing so because he's even if a more normal presidency ensues, their attempts to crack down on fraudsters are going to be looked upon with skepticism, the way he's normalized it. But I still think that the people should be, or the Democrats should be emphasizing this as a point continuously, because a lot of people don't realize that this has happened. The problem with that, of course, is that the zone is already flooded with so many other outrageous things that have occurred that it's hard to get people's attention or get them upset about things. If everything is an outrage, nothing becomes an outrage.
That's true. That's true. But still, you don't have to be outraged by everything. Just note it. Just note it. And it's not only Trump. It's all the Trumpists. In Indiana, you told me about this. In Indiana, the state legislature, bedrock Trump, bedrock MAGA, voted that the college entrance exams to be used by Indiana universities must include questions about what Plato wrote, what St. Augustine wrote, what Aristotle wrote. That's knowledge that they expect the students looking to be admitted to Indiana universities have to know. That's right. Law number one. Law number two, passed the same week, voted to eliminate all Indiana programs of education where students study Plato, Augustine, and Aristotle.
Yeah, the humanities.
Humanities, exactly.
You can't study the humanities, but you have a mandate to teach.
That you have to, but you have the mandate, you have to be able to answer questions about it.
About them, yeah.
Now, that's like the 20 pound of gas.
Yes. Yes. Which is why you can't argue against this, because it's theater of the absurd.
But, you know, these people grow up at some point. How the hell are they going to run the country?
Well, what people have found out is that the Trumpers don't know how to run the country.
Exactly. They don't know how to run the country. Well, they know how to steal from the country.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the conflicts of interest that are out there are enormous. We had, companies formed. Was it for a drone manufacturing? A company gets formed, mm-hmm. and they take in Donald Trump Jr. or Eric Trump as.
Oh yeah, Donald Trump Jr. Vulcan Enterprises. That's right, exactly. Tell that story. Another great one.
Well, yeah, they formed this new company, and then they get a $600 million contract.
Yeah, but the company was worth $200 million. Right?
Yes.
When Trump bought into the company at $200 yeah. million, dollars,
right.
several months later, the company is given a federal contract, a federal loan for $620 million, raising its valuation to $2 billion. $2 billion. He went into $200 million, and of course, yeah. he had nothing to do with the fact that the government gave him the contract and gave him the loan,
yeah.
but he made 900% in less than a year on his investment.
Look at Hunter Biden, right?
Well, Hunter Biden didn't make anything. He didn't get paid.
Doing things when his father was out of office.
Out of office, exactly. Bidens should be excoriated. They don't know how to game the system, but the Trump people do know how to game the system. Naturally, we should be led
by
them.
That they're good at. But, it's similar to that contract that went out from Christy Noem's office and Corey Lewandowski there with that company that didn't exist a week before.
Yeah.
And got a $193 million government contract. They have no website. They had no office.
They have no employees. They had no business. They had nothing.
Right.
The company's address was the guy's living room. Yeah. Nothing. Right. How many millions did they get? Many millions.
193.
That's a lot of millions.
That's a lot. But people are starting to notice that things are breaking down, and they don't know. They know how to steal, but they don't know how to run things. Produce things with the money that they've stolen, to deliver the goods, so to speak.
Well, I mean, they don't plan to deliver any goods. They plan to buy a yacht or vacation or. I mean, the problem is there's a limit to how much they can spend on themselves. But the game is in stealing, right? Isn't that the game?
The game is to accumulate.
Accumulate, exactly.
He who dies with the most wins.
Exactly.
That's the old theme. In many ways, we've known that they're not going to know how to run things because. This wasn't even the people that he hired this time were just there for as loyalists, and they weren't even the B team in many instances. They were the C team. They were in the deep minor leagues of people. The young kid who was. Doing Doge work into Social Security.
He
wasn't there to help Social Security. He was there to grab the information about people. The person in charge of FEMA, they wanted to do away with FEMA, right? That was the response.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of FEMA and disasters, Hawaii is being flooded, but out in the western part of the United States, the heat wave, record heat, not by a little, but by an awful lot. And they say that there is no climate change.
But do you know that the guy who was chosen to run FEMA believes that he was teleported? Not once, but numerous times. He sincerely believes that he was teleported. He was in one spot, and a moment later, he was 50 miles away. And he says it really happened. It's a queasy feeling, he said, but it really happened. This is the guy who's in charge of making plans to avert disaster.
And we're not even in the disaster season.
He's a walking disaster.
He's a disaster.
He's a disaster.
Yeah.
Teleportation. If he really knew about that, we wouldn't have any problem with the Straits of Hormuz. We wouldn't need it. We would just teleport.
Well, but we can't have wind power or solar power, anything like that.
But when you get teleported, you don't cause any draft, no current. You get reconstituted because it's instantaneous. It's not like you get on a carpet and the carpet travels. It's just your molecules suddenly disappear from where they were and reappear in a place that you were not at before, and it's far away. And he believes it.
Beam me up, Scotty. Right?
Yeah, beam me up, Scotty. Exactly that. Except that was on television, and this guy believes. And he's in charge of disasters. Well, he'll produce disasters. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, but they still haven't spent the money for North Carolina after that disaster last year.
That was a real disaster.
Yeah, which is why the Democrats is leading in North Carolina for the Senate. That and the fact that he was a competent governor. Despite the Republican attempts to limit his power.
So do you think that Trump's regime is falling apart? Would you say that it's fair to look at it that way? He got himself into a war he didn't need to start for a purpose he couldn't articulate, because he didn't have any purpose for it except to show that he was a tough guy. Now he can't get out of the war. He claims he won the war, but then he asked for help from his allies. Turned out none of his allies were allied to him. And one of them, Denmark, had actually mobilized its army and sent it to Greenland to be on guard in case the American army landed and tried to take over Greenland. Can you believe this? A NATO member, Denmark, mobilizes its army to prevent an American invasion? It's unbelievable, right?
Yeah, well, that really upset the European allies. This week, he decided to pivot and upset one of our Asian allies, Japan, which was in some respects, a buffer against China, not all respects. But the prime minister of Japan, the first woman prime minister, came to the Oval Office, and he pulled a Zelensky on her. The question came up as to, well, if you wanted our help with Iran, why didn't you give us advance warning as to what you were going to do? And his reply is, did you guys tell us about Pearl Harbor in advance?
Beautiful. What a diplomat.
Cringeworthy. Of course, under MAGA, that plays very well.
Yeah.
Because it looks, you have a woman.
Put her into her place.
Put her in her place. A woman of color from Asia.
Mm-hmm.
This is what it is. Now, Ruth Ben-Ghiat explains that this is what strong men do, is they try to humiliate people to continually puff themselves up to show who's really in charge, so to speak. Yeah, I think she made a mistake, and I understand why she didn't do it, but I think she made a mistake. At that point, she should have gotten up and said, "You want our help, or you keep insulting us. You wanted Europe's help, and you insulted them. What kind of a fool does this? I'm out of here," and just walked out and left him sitting there.
She should have done it.
That would have reversed the humiliation. It would have been jujitsu.
reversed the
humiliation.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Trump was supposed to go to China this next week.
Yeah, and he's postponed that.
He postponed it. But the interesting thing was that weeks ago, stories leaked in the press that the Chinese were complaining that the Americans hadn't done anything to prepare for the meeting, and that the Chinese had no idea what it was the Americans wanted to get out of the meeting, and that they hadn't prepared any documents for them to study or made any requests for proposals or counterproposals, and they really had no idea what the meeting was supposed to be about.
The meeting is about photo op. That's what it's about. That's what Trump's about.
That's right. The Chinese have the weird idea that at a meeting you're supposed to talk about things.
Well, Trump will come out. He'll lie about what the meeting was. He'll make some, depending on how he feels that day, some statement that he's doing something or not doing something, and he'll declare it a victory because he looked. This is look. I'm the president. I'm in China. I'm gonna get more jobs or whatever created. But
he couldn't do it. The meeting's off.
The meeting is off.
Meeting is off, and that does not make him closer to Xi Jinping, which presumably he wanted to do.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of Trump's heroes.
Yeah.
I just want to go back for a minute. We were talking about FEMA and funding and taking money. The statistics are out. This week, the debt of the United States hit between $39 and $40 trillion. But an analysis of that shows that one third of that debt was accumulated solely under Donald J. Trump. The other 40 some presidents of the United States combined for two thirds of the debt. Donald Trump, it is mine. He's the greatest deficit debt creator. But that's how he operated his businesses too, right?
Well, they went bankrupt.
Yeah, they went business. Now he can't bankrupt the United States because it has the power to print money. But he, you asked if whether or not Trump was having problems. He can't get his nominee for the Federal Reserve chair through.
Because of a Republican, not because of a Democrat, because of a Republican.
Because of a Republican, who says, you guys are still trying to indict Jerome Powell, who, by the way, this week won the Kennedy Center Profiles in Courage Award, and who came out and said, by the way, the unemployment or the employment situation looks worse than what it is, because the numbers that come out of the government are unreliable. And by the way, the tariffs are adding to the inflation rate, by at least 0.5%, if not 0.75%, which is a lot.
Which is almost 25% of the growth in inflation.
Yeah. So he can't get that through the Senate. He can't get through the SAVE Act, which is this voter ID, really voter suppression act.
Yeah, you shouldn't call it a voter ID. It's not that. It's not that. It's a way to keep people from voting.
Voting.
Yeah.
Right. And people don't realize that. We keep talking about it, that the women are going to have to re-register if they... because they have a different married name.
They have to get their birth certificate.
The birth certificate and their marriage certificates.
Yeah.
They're They want to do away with all mail-in voting except for the armed services and bedridden people.
Mm-hmm.
They want to have only same-day voting count.
Mm-hmm.
If you can imagine in a presidential election, 150 million people going to the polls and in one day.
Well, and don't forget that in some places where the MAGA people rule, like in Arizona and in Texas, they passed laws, I think, and in Georgia too, that you couldn't distribute water to people standing online at the voting booth.
That was Georgia.
Even though they were standing online for hours, but they couldn't get food or water from anybody. That would be a crime.
Right. And if people violated the act, they were subject to felony prosecution.
Right.
That isn't going through.
No, but that isn't going through. To me, that's another indication that his regime is falling apart.
Yeah.
Because he wants it to go through. He said, I won't sign any other bill until that bill comes to my desk.
Of course, Congress isn't passing any other bills. So.
Well, that makes it easier, right? Yeah.
Details.
Yeah.
But everything he touches, he put his name on the Kennedy Center, and now it's kaput for at least 2 years. His man in charge had to resign on that.
Well, Rubio, that was fighting with Rubio.
That was fine, yeah. We lost another American, or we're going to lose another American icon come May, and that's CBS Radio News. After 99 years, a Trump supporter.
Edward R. Murrow's station?
Yep. Is going...
Going away. They fired all the people. Friday with 1 or 2 hours notice.
Right. Not reassigned to other positions in CBS News.
Right.
But there won't even be news there.
And they were, that network consisted of, they were feeding news to 700 stations. You know, this is not a small operation. And it must have been profitable. Radio is not an unprofitable business. Radio is a very profitable business. But that is, of course, Trump's buddy that owns that network now.
Yeah, Ellison.
Ellison, right.
But he did manage where he, and there's a question whether he needs congressional approval, to approve a new $1 gold coin with his own image on it.
Well, the Congress can't approve it because there's a law that says you can't do it.
Yeah. That's just details.
Yeah.
And right under him standing there, that's where they decided to put the motto, "In God We Trust." So you have Trump standing right over the word God.
Well,
you can trust in God, but not in Trump, for God's sake.
Trump is God. But in a certain sense, you can't trust in Trump. You can trust in him to be corrupt and screw things up, except for his corruption. That he knows how to do.
Yeah. And by the way, don't schedule any MRIs in the distant future. The supply of helium is in jeopardy, and those machines need helium to run and to keep cool.
And they're in jeopardy as a consequence of the war in Iran, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Which I'm sure nobody thought of in his administration.
They probably don't know that helium has anything to do with anything, except maybe balloons.
Hot air.
Hot air.
That's what they blow. They're blowing enough hot air, maybe. Who knows? But
the masses of hot air have outlawed hot air.
Yeah. Now, we want to remind people, next Saturday, no King's Day.
Right.
Show
That's right.
Up.
Show up. Show these guys that you won't put up with them. That's exactly right.
That's it.
You may think that it doesn't matter, but it does matter. It matters because it gives encouragement to other elements who may be uncertain, who may be fearful. And as long as we've got a Department of Homeland Security that's spending billions of dollars to buy up warehouses, those warehouses are not going to be filled with immigrants. There aren't that many immigrants. They're going to be filled with political opponents.
Right. And who knows whether they're or how much is being kicked back in that. But we'll have a report on No King's Day next week.
Okay. Well, we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.